pay my insurance premium on my car. Then I wanted to go to the Dollar General and buy some lotions for the church. And then I wanted to go play bingo at the senior center. And I was just praying to the Lord on the way to Paris. And all of a sudden, Dale drops in my spirit. And the Lord said, you know Dale? I said, sure, Lord, I know Dale. She goes to church. She's my sister in the Lord. Yes. She's got a heavy burden. For Tess. And he said, I want you to do something for me. I thought, oh, gosh. Here it goes. Because Sunday night when she comes to church, you're preaching. I want you to pray for her. But not just you alone. I want you to call the mothers of the church.
Hallelujah.
That speak in tongues.
Thank you for your mercy.
That know me. He wants you to know him. So that's a prerequisite. You must know him. He wants the mothers of the church that can speak in tongues, that know the Lord as Savior, to go to Dale. Right now, we're going to pray for her. You can speak in tongues, do it. Yana kashikini miha natas. Yala maha tikina mate shikini mita amana amma. Yani mikini shiha maha sasami. Yani kishimi. Father, you know where Tess is. Father, send your spirit to bring her to her mother in some form, either by phone, by message, somehow. Father, you know where she is exactly, Father. Father, you see this woman as she lays in bed and she's thinking about Tess. Tears are running down her face. She wants to know where her daughter is. Father, send your spirit to draw her in Jesus' name. Amen. I was crying on the way to pay those premiums, and I thought, Lord, these people at State Farm are going to think I'm crying over the premiums. It was for you, Dale. Actually, what I was going to preach on, what does it mean to be in the Spirit? May have to cut it short, but we'll do the best we can. Angela, give me this if I'm preaching too long. Cut it off, Mildred. So far, good. Turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. Now if I can get my mind working. I'm just calming it down for a minute. This is John talking. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord today, and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet saying, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book, send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. And what I wanted you to see is I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then I want you to go to Revelations, same chapter, chapter 1, verse 12 through 13. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. He's referring to Jesus. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the seven lampstands is one like the Son of Man. Like the Son of Man. What does that mean? That means we're talking about Jesus. Now, often in the New Testament, Jesus will refer to himself as the Son of Man or like the Son of Man. That points to his humanity before the fall. He lived a life that mankind should have lived before the fall. It was perfect. We cannot walk in that perfection except through Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. We have to walk this life through him. That's why it says, like the Son of Man. Now here's the other thing. Look at Exodus chapter 28, verse 4. And these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brothers and his sons, and he may minister to me as priest. You remember when we were talking in Revelations how Jesus was clothed? Let me go back to that real quick. That was in Revelations 12 and 13. One like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, a tunic, okay, girded about the chest with a golden band. Sherry, he was dressed as our high priest in heaven, where he sits at the right hand of the Father. He's thinking of us. Let's look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Now here's the thing about John. When he was in the Spirit, it doesn't mean that it's like Star Wars and he was, what do they call it, zapped up there. He was in the Spirit. So what does it mean and how? You know, lots of us think of being in the Spirit as a destination. It's not a destination, it's a walk. It's how we should live. It's how we should abide. It's how we should move and live and have our being. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He wants us to lay down our life and to be like him. Like the Son of Man. John's prayer life positioned him to be in the Spirit and receive visions and prophecies, just as it positions us that way, if we allow to do so. How do you know if you're in the Spirit? Your attention or what you think about is not so much what is in this world or how do I get more, how do I do more, and what does it take to prosper in this world. It's what is in God's world, what's eternal, What does he think is important? What are the things that are concerning him? It means being God conscious in everything we do or see or feel, whatever we think. Now, when Angela said, hey, Kelly wants you to preach Sunday night, I thought, oh, good. I get to preach on the seven spirits of the Lord. And the Lord said, no, you don't get to do that just yet. They got to get to this spot here. Now, the seven spirits of the Lord is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's mentioned in the book of Revelations, and it's mentioned in Isaiah. We can't go there right now, but we will. We will. All of you are growing up. There's a difference between this crowd and the Sunday morning crowd. You see what I'm saying? You look around, and these people here are maturing in the things of the Lord because they're coming here not so much because they met the quota for the Sunday day. They want to grow in the things of the Lord. All right. Now, the term in the spirit is not meant to be something super spiritual. Now, let me tell you something, Sister Mary. I used to think that people that were in the spirit were really holy. And maybe they can walk on water, but almost. But you know what I found out, Frank? They're just like regular people. They think about more of what, they're more God-centered than they are world-centered. They're concerned about what does God want me to do? And believe me, the Millie at the beginning, when I first became a Christian, asked my husband, would have never did what I just did. I even, Frank, honest to God, I was so happy to become a Christian. I went up to Hansel and said, Hansel, I've been reading about Job. He looked at me and said, sweetie, it's Job. Do you remember that, hon? I was so embarrassed. The term in the spirit meant to be, it's not meant to be something supernatural or something we can't achieve. Really, it means to be more God conscious and the things that God is concerned with than the things of the world. Let's look at Galatians 5:16. Then I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking is something that people do as they mature in the natural. We see toddlers do that. Most kids will walk, well, about 15, to, certainly by 2 years of age. This is a thing that we should be growing into early in our Christianity. But what happens is the growth of a Christian gets stunted and they don't learn to walk in the Spirit. They like to stay in the flesh. They like to stir the pot. And lots of times I'll tell Kelly, she'll be calling about someone and want me to pray, and I'll say, hun, don't let that bother you. They're just stirring the pot. Let it go. So don't pay attention to pot stirrers. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. I'm still not real comfortable, and I don't think I ever will be, moving in the Spirit. And you know what? That's my problem, Frank. It's because I'm afraid. Fear. I'm afraid, Mary, of making a mistake. But you know what I promised the Lord? If you, Dale, when he first told me that I want you to pray for Dale, you know what I told him? She doesn't always come on Wednesday nights, Lord. But if she comes, I promise to do it. trying to be more faithful in the things he tells me to do. What does he tell you to do? Are you faithful in that thing he told you to do? That's what I got to ask you. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law can only condemn you. The Spirit sets you free. Okay. So now let's. There's no longer a sentence by the law, but an empowerment by the Spirit to live in Christ. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Romans 8, verses 5 through 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, flesh-minded, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not the subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You cannot please God if you're in the flesh. You want to please God? Walk in the Spirit. Manifest the fruit of the Spirit. I'm just writing this quick. I'm writing Tess, contact Mom.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to how to be in the Spirit at all times. Is that a hard thing to do? You know what? It is. Because there's a conflict between the Spirit and the flesh. There's a fight. And what you have to do, it's a mindset. You have to change your mindset to be in the Spirit. That means when you feel that you're getting in the flesh, like we know when we are in the flesh, because we get mean or nasty or cruel, or we do certain things we know we shouldn't do. So there's a conflict there. There's a battle. To be in the Spirit means to be more conscious of God and the things. So you can save yourself a lot of heartache if you would just ask yourself, is this what God would want me to do, or how to act, or how to behave? Or would he want something different of me? It is a deliberate practice to be consistently to shift your focus or your mindset on the things of God. You have to make yourself do what God has for you to do. How did we do this? You consume the Word. Consume means you eat it. It becomes part of you. Let me tell you something. I had a hard time with this. You know what got me over this? Trials. Tribulation. More of those I had, the closer I got. I remember standing in the shower with Kelly. And I said, Kelly, there's nothing left of your mother here. God's going to have to build me back up. There's absolutely nothing left. Do you remember that, huh? I mean, it was one thing after another, after another, after another. And those things, Sherry, only brought me closer to God, closer to His Word. I consumed it. And even in my class with my kids, I'll tell them, most of them don't bring their Bibles, by the way. So if your mom, your kid don't bring a Bible, they need to bring a Bible. You need to talk to your kids and have them practice prayer. Have them practice prayer. The earlier they have a relationship with the Lord, the better off they're going to be. And I'll tell them, look, you can use my Bible, but I love my Bible. Don't you mess with my Bible. Don't you rip the pages. Don't you zip through. Don't you be mean to this Bible. It's a part of me. Okay? That's how you should feel about your... When you study out of something and it becomes a part of you, you're pretty possessive about it. Consume the Word. Let's look at John 6:63. The Gospel of John. It is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit, and they are life. The words that He speaks to you, even if it's the Word in the Word, or the Word that you hear Him speak to you in prayer, these are the things that bring about life to your spirit, man. Spending time in prayer and worship. Look, you know, I sing terrible. But I sure sing in that vehicle. And I'd always tell the Lord, I said, Lord, I know by the time this gets to heaven, I sound so good. I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 and 18. Kelly inherited my voice. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing. Now, if you know anything about Colton, he will pray at the drop of a hat. It's because he likes to talk to God. I mean, when I put that boy to bed, don't expect it to be a quick thing. Oh, no, first I pray, he prays, and then he has to go through the list of everybody in the church. He loves y'all. Let's look at Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't be anxious. Don't get in a hurry. Wait on the Lord. Pray about it. Make sure you're making the right moves and you're not moving in the flesh. And the third thing, how do we know that we're in the Spirit, or how do we get to there? Walk in love. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. We sing a song that has those verses in it. Don't we, dear? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Remember the stipulation I had when we were praying for Dale? Don't come if you don't know the Lord. If you don't know Him, I wanted someone to reach out. I wanted us to reach out because we know who we're talking to. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Then in the same book, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides, live there. Abides in love, abides in God, and God in him. You have to live in that love. It's a hard thing to do. Some people are very hard to love. But you still have to do it. I was thinking the other day about our sister Barb. She wasn't accepted by everybody down here. She wasn't loved by everybody down here. But you know, when she got to heaven, don't you know, she was accepted by everybody there. She was loved by everybody there. She was embraced by everybody there. I could not be sad for her. I'm glad for her. She graduated, and she lives in a place where everybody thinks she's top notch. Amen. You know, one of the things I had to tell you, you have to be proactive in walking in love and walking in the Spirit. You have to set your mind on it, set your heart on it, and do what God has for you to do. Now, Angela, you want to pray over these people for me, hon? Come on up here. I've known him for a little while. 49 years, married. Going on 50.
Well, we love you. And this is what I feel like, what I'm sensing here in this place lately. People have a secret desire. They want to move in the Spirit. Some of these people, some of you want to move in the Spirit. And God has an open desire. He wants everybody in here to move in the Spirit. He wants everybody to move in the Spirit. And not just some. And I've watched in the last several years Millie really come into her own as far as her salvation and the Word. She craves the Word. She's up all hours of the night in the Word. And that's where our hope and our direction, our peace and our triumph, that's where everything is. Now, I guess we should close by just... Ian, come up here for just a minute. We're going to all pray for Ian, okay?
Tell me about Ian, sister.
Can you tell us?
He said today that they said he was on the verge of having high blood pressure. And he'll be 23 the 14th of this month. Plus, his whole face is swollen. And they think it might be his wisdom teeth, but they're not sure.
Okay.
Well, would it be? I'm going to ask Millie. Let me tell you. Millie seems to know more about. Well, when she was in the workforce, the doctors would ask her, "What's wrong with this person?" Because diagnostically, I don't personally know anybody better. Now, say those things again, and then we're going to have Millie pray. And I'm going to agree, and all of you are going to agree. And God wants every one of you to move in the Spirit. And those of you that are starting to come on Wednesday night, you know what I'm talking about. Every one of you. Every one of you is special. But tell us one more time, Ian. You take this microphone. Tell us what's going on with Ian.
Sorry. He called today, and he's been pretty sick. But he said that he put in a sick call because his whole mouth was swollen. And they said they thought it might be his wisdom teeth, but he is also, they said his blood pressure for him to be that young was too high. And so, but it doesn't help that he drinks the energy drinks either.
Caffeine.
Mm-hmm. And I know God can change that.
Amen.
I'm going to give this mic back to you, but I'm taking it for a minute. I don't know if everybody here knows this. Ian is not your flesh and blood son. Tell us what he is.
We were foster parents and we adopted Ian when he was six.
Okay.
So.
She couldn't love him anymore. And that's the way I feel about Evan and my other girls that aren't mine. But, you know, I wonder, Millie, is that probably could be very good chance that it's something to do with his teeth?
Sure, it can be, you know, it could be a number of things. It could be that he has an infection in his body that was caused elevated blood pressure, but also those caffeine drinks. In fact, they used to. They don't make it anymore. But we used to give caffeine right into people's hearts with a long needle. We don't do that anymore because it would make it start up their heart. We don't do that anymore.
Let me just say this. Just pray about this. Nobody can tell you what to do. But if you're addicted or you're very fond of those energy drinks, before you go another day, before it gets worse, I would think about cutting back a little bit on them, because
it overworks your heart. Overworks your heart. And he's under a lot of stress right now.
Yes.
He's in that facility. And I'm sure people are coming at him. And so I'm going to pray for a hedge of protection around him, and that God would calm his spirit. And then reveal to him, well, I'm going to slow down on them caffeine drinks.
Stretch your hands forth.
Father, I just thank you for Ian, that you're working in his life, Father, that you've given him a desire, Father, to know more of you, Father, and to come to you. Father, I pray for a hedge of protection around him and about him, Father. Father, that you would give him knowledge that his diet, those caffeine drinks, high caffeine drinks, are not the best thing to be consuming all the time, Father. And that you would minister him if there's any infection in his body, Father, that you would heal him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Does that suffice you, Angie?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Now, let me just close with this thought. You know, I've learned to minister to people as the Lord ministers to me. God makes a demand on me, and I'm going to make a demand on you. And I, you know what? I'm going to ask you. I wouldn't get up unless this was really in my heart. I don't mean anything bad, but look here. If you can say tonight, I love my family and people around me, and I feel like I would have an edge if I could move in the Spirit better, and I want to move in the Spirit. I want to lose all fear, all inhibition. If there may not be anybody, well, then there's no sense in us praying for that. But if anybody wants it, I'm making a demand right now. You just stand up, embarrass yourself, whatever it is. If you want to move in the Spirit, let God know. Stand up. Now, and some of you may move enough. I'm not, and some of you need time to think. That's fine. Father, in the holy name of Jesus, by the power of the resurrection, oh, that we might know you in the fellowship of your suffering and the power of your resurrection. Lord, for everybody that's standing up, including myself, I want to move more. We want to move more. We're not afraid to say it. Lord, use us. We're standing up saying, here am I, Lord. Use me. Teach me. Take me. Cause me to be in the Spirit, as Millie's first verse. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Help us, Lord, to be in the Spirit, to move in the Spirit, and to see the results of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, and could we close with the Lord's Prayer, everybody in the room? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
God bless.